We're up to Perek Aleph, Pasek Tes Vav. Ois Samach. Everything in Eicha is very straightforward because we're able to follow the letters of the Aleph base. Kesila Kol Abirai, Hashem Bikirbi. Hashem trampled all of my mighty ones. Mighty ones, Hashem Bikirbi. Bikirbi Koralai Moed. Hashem has designated a festival or a set time lishbar bachroi to break my young men. Gas as a wine press. Darach Hashem. Hashem has trampled livsulos bas Yisrael, the maiden bas Yehuda. Sulos the poetry. We have here the bachurim, the bachurim and the Besulais, the Bechurim, my young men, and the Besulas Bas Yehuda. Maybe I should, yes, this gentleman. You know, quieter, okay. The Besulas Bas Yehuda. Let's see over here first Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, Sila? Sila means to trample. Sila literally means to pave a road. So when you pave a road, it's a borrowed term, it means to step upon. Romas Verofas. It means to trample, to step upon. Solu solu hamasila. We find this idea solu solu hamasila, where it says in Yeshaya that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it means to pave the road. Okay, kara olai moed. What does it mean? Kara olai moed. Moed means a set moment in time. Yidas gayosos. The designation. Yid means designation. The yid gayosos lovo olai. Hashem designated the enemy, the armies, to come upon me. Period. Now here we have an interpretation, Chazal, Rabbi Seinu Darshu. I'm not exactly clear what this means. Maybe someone here can help me. Rabbi Seinu Darshu, Masha Darshu. What is this referring to? Tamuz Dahu Shata, Miluye Malia Shel Shana, Miluye Malia. The Tamuz of that year was a complete Tamuz. I guess what it means is that Tamuz... Tamuz can be mole or choser. I guess technically today, Tamuz today is always. Av always has one day, Rosh Chodesh, without exception. So that means if Av has one day, that means that Tamuz is always mole. Tamuz is always going to be exactly 30. It's going to be 30 days. Sometimes a month can be 29 days, and sometimes a month can be 30 days. So today we have a set calendar. There are certain months, most of the months, in fact, are set. Are set how many days there are, but there are teves, I believe, can be the moly chaser. There are, I think, 2-3 months which can be moly chaser today. Cheshvan also.
The end of Cheshvan. The end of Cheshvan, the end of Kislev.
Those are the variables.
Tammuz is only one day, but it's Sivan. That's the 2 days making the Tammuz.
And Tammuz is how many days? It's only 29 days. 29 days. But that year, the year when they left Mitzrayim, was 30 days. That's what it says. That Tammuz, that he shaita meluya malia. It was meluya malia, it was a full month. Tammuz was a complete month because in order they should come back, and the Meraglim, the calculation, the Meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av. Last week's parasha, Parasha Shlach, Rashi explains, meluya malia, shal shana shnil litzei sami Mitzrayim. It was a Meluy Mal, that the Tammuz of that year was a Tammuz that had exactly 30 days, and that was the second year, let's say, Sunday Mitzrayim, Lekach Ira Chazarosin Shel Regolim, Lel Tisha B'Av. That's why it occurred, the return of the, it says here, I have Regolim, is that what you have in your text? Regolim, it's going to be Meraglim, or Regolim, Regolim means here, the spies. They came back on the Lel Tisha B'Av, Shalechu Chukvah B'chiyasan L'Doyrois. It was established of B'chiy L'Doyrois for L'Doyrois for all generations, because we know that they left, because the calculation has to work out 40 days. Yoyim LaShana, Yoyim LaShana. Okay, so we have it 3 weeks. We calculate, we observe the Churban Beis Hamikdash for 3 weeks from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, which is exactly 3 weeks, 21 days. However, the Meraglim, they left right 3 days, right after Matan Torah. Right after, not after Matan Torah, I'm sorry, the second year, Yeah, I've got the exact calculation, but the Meraglim, you have to work backwards 40 days. The Meraglim are towards, was it Zion Sivan? Okay, I've got the exact calculation. I didn't prepare this adequate. You're here today. You told me not to be here today. Change of plan. Okay. Okay, but the Meraglim travel for 40 days. I apologize. I didn't remember the calculation. But the calculation, if we know exactly when the Meraglim left, and if the Meraglim... No, you'd Zion, it's only 21 days.
That's only...
Zion Sivan.
Okay. That's like 23 days here, 17 days here.
Right, so Zion Sivan would be 40 days, right? Okay, I think there's a calculation, because Zion, after Matan Torah... Matan Torah was, well, immediately. Matan Torah was, the Shiragim did not take place immediately, did it? Maybe it did take place immediately, I don't remember exactly.
It says it was Shana Shnius.
No, it's like Chav Ches
Sivan. It was in the first year, it's second year, it says. The second year, after Pesach Sheni. It's after Pesach, oh no, could it can't be Pesach.
Okay. The second year, most people agree.
The second year, and it was Zion. There's some calculation that it was Zion, that we know exactly when it was in the second year. Okay, I don't remember the details. There is
track back 40 days.
Right, but we also need to know the exact day, because we have to make it work out that Tammuz is Moleh. Normally, Tammuz has 29 days. And if Tammuz, and we know that they came back on the night of Tisha B'Av. So if you work back 40 days and Tammuz would only have 29 days like we have today, then we would be off by one day. We would be off by one day going backwards. I apologize, I may have to go look it up. But there is a calculation as to exactly when the Meraglim left for Eretz Yisrael. And if we take that, and we do know that the Meraglim returned exactly on Tisha B'Av. And if we look at the calendar, based upon what we know, what we do today where Tammuz has 29 days, we're off by one day. So the solution to this problem is that year in the Midbar, the Makadesh Alpiriya, and Tammuz was 30 days. So the calculation then works out. And that's what it's over here. At 30 days. And that way we work backwards from Tisha B'Av, when they returned, from the time that they left. The Messiah was they left on Zion Tammuz. Zion Sivan would be then exactly 40 days. And it comes out, Meluy Malia Shal Shoshanish Nil, let's say some in Mitzrayim, the second week left in Mitzrayim.
Lekach. They left on Zion Sivan after being 40 days.
So it's Zion Sivan.
So Shivas of Tammuz is 40 days.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. Shivas of Tammuz is, that's what by
Shivas of Tammuz is 40 days.
Was not Tisha B'Av? No. Malalu is okay. Okay, I don't know. Then we have to go back. Let's leave it for now. Maybe we'll come back to it tomorrow. Lekachi v'chazarasan shel regalim lel Tisha B'Av. Tishra was the day when it was established a crying lidoris. Okay, so that's what it means. There'll be a kara olai mod. In fact, from this pasuk, Chazal learn, there's like a remez for Rosh Chodesh that Rosh Chodesh is called a moed. It's called a moed. They had to have established Rosh Chodesh a day later in order that the calculation should work out. And that's hinted in the words Kor Olai Moed. Whoever said that Rosh Chodesh is called a festival. From this pasuk we learn that indeed, yes, Rosh Chodesh is called a festival, and it was established a day later to make the, and that is only why the calculation does indeed work out. Okay, let's first look at the Rashi. Gas, as a wine press. Dorach Hashem Livsulas Spasi, there's a wine press. So the wine press, you put the grapes in the wine press and you step on the grapes, which cause the wine to flow. Lashon Hariga, gas here is used in a negative sense, means of like death. Kimo pura durachti levadi. As pura also means like I think a wine press, durachti levadi kidorich anovim. Lahaitzi yenam, to extract, it means to press down upon the vines. Lahaitzi yenam, to extract the wine. Kach ramas hanoshim lahaitzi damam, they trampled upon the women to and caused them to bleed. Livsulas bas Yehuda, they stepped upon them, they did horrible things to women in order to cause them to bleed to death. It was a disgraceful form of death, a death of trampling. Okay, now there are a couple of other things, quick things. Karl Aymor Chazal tell us that there's a famous Chazal that the Kruvim, they looked at each other. The Kruvim were facing one another. When Yisrael were not Yisrael Mitzvah Shalmakim, the Kruvim did not look at each other. The Medrash says that when the enemies entered into the Beis HaMikdash, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim were facing one another. And the obvious question is, from all times, we would expect that when Hashem allowed the enemy to come to the Kodesh HaKadosh and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, at that point in time, the Kruvim should bedafka, not be facing what? They were embracing each other. But we would expect that the Kruvim at that moment in time should not be embracing each other, because this is the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Chazal say, Bezman She Yisrael Einam Oisim Ritzenim Shalmakam, the Kruvim were not embracing each other. So from all moments in time when Klal Yisrael were not considered to be Oisim Ritzenim Shalmakam, it's obvious the moment of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So why wasn't specifically there the Kruvim were embracing one another? So the answer is, this was the ultimate love. As it says, Mizmar La Asaf, Bo Goyim Benachal Asecha. It's a Mizma L'David, Bo Goyim Benachal Asecha. Chazal is the Kasha, why is it called the Mizma? When you're describing the situation when the Goyim have entered into the Beis HaMikdash to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it would say Kina L'David, not a Mizmar. And the answer is that only through the Beis HaMikdash, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, were we able to survive. If the Beis HaMikdash would have remained, then the HaKadosh Baruch would have poured out His anger upon us. The only reason why we were able to survive was because the HaKadosh Baruch poured out His anger upon Eitzim Va'avonim. So therefore, the Churban Beis HaMikdash is viewed in the eyes of Chazal as an act of rachanim, an act of mercy. It was destroyed for the better good that we should, Klal Yisrael should survive, and that's why it's called Kora Olai Moed. The day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in Hashem's, from Hashem's point of view, was a festival, was a benefit for us, and not a tzara, not a tzara. Okay, that's a very popular idea. The word also Kora, according to Chazal, also always connotes greatness. It's considered in Hashem's eyes to be something significant, like it says, Vayikra. Ru'u Kora Hashem b'shem b'tzalel b'nuri b'nchur l'mate Yehuda. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants greatness to a person, for example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu are recruited b'tzalel to be the architect of the Beis HaMikdash, he was the one who built the Mishkan, the very same b'tzalel who was the architect of the Mikdash, it was described with the word Kuru Kara Hashem. Rabbi Meir, do you remember the exact pasuk? Kara Hashem b'shem b'tzalel ben Uri b'nechor. How does it begin? Kara Hashem.
Re'ei.
Kara Hashem b'shem. So it's exactly the same word. The Marshal Lahavil Elif Alfei Avdolos, when the twin towers came crashing down. So what? The next day, the next month, the next year, who got the highest profile on the news? The architect of Go. They went back 30 years. How long was it since they put up the Twin Towers? Whatever it was, 30 years? So they had the architects, and they had them, the builders, anyone that participated in the building and the architect of the Twin Towers was on nightly news and describing how it was built and why one tower came down one way and the other tower came down the other way. They never expected this, and so on and so forth. Here we are describing the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, it's not the same structure as the Mishkan, but obviously the template for the Beis HaMikdash is rooted in the Mishkan. And it is not a coincidence that the same word is being used in describing its destruction and in describing the architect who built the Mishkan. Here it says, Kara Olai Moed Lishbar Bachuroi, Hashem designated a festival, a set time to break my young men. That same word is the word Hashem used to recruit. Ru'u Karo Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chor L'mata Yehuda. He was the master craftsman to build the Beis HaMikdash. What's the deeper meaning between this connection, the same use of word, is that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all the same. The building of the Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is all the same. It's all for the ultimate good of Klal Yisrael. Just like when we built the Mishkan, it was in order to bring the Shekhinah down to Klal, to this world, it should remain in Klal Yisrael. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Korah, Olai, Noah, the Shbar Baruch Hu, right, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it was also for the ultimate good that the Shekhinah should remain among Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael should not be destroyed. It's a very powerful connection. He makes that connection here in the Sos Bamlinos, this connection of the similarity of the word Korah in both the building and in the destruction. Okay, the next idea is the Bachurai and the Besulas. The Bachurai, now this really flows in. Let's jump ahead for one moment. We knew the talking, but let's jump ahead to the next pasuk. Pasuk to Zayin, it says, Al Eila Ani Vochiyo, Eini Yorda Mayin, Ki Rochak Mimeni Menachem Meshav Nafshi, Hoyu Vonai Shoimenim Ki Govar Oyev. Now this pasuk we're going to discuss in detail in a few moments. On this I cry, my eyes tear, they flow with water. It is distant from me a person that will give me comfort and meshiv, and someone that will restore my spirit. My children are desolate, the enemy has prevailed. This pasuk is said in specifically in reference to the famous kina we read on Tisha B'Av about the Bein Ubas of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. We all know the story of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol had beautiful children, and they were taken as captives at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And the one captor had the son, one had the daughter, and each one was meeting, when they met each other at some type of bar, and they were bragging about the beautiful captives that they have in their possession. And then they came up with an idea, let's meet Mishanech them. If you have such a beautiful young man and you have such a beautiful young woman, let's be Mishanech them, and then we can imagine how beautiful the children are, and we'll make a killing in the market. We'll be able to sell them, but we'll be able to sell the offspring. And they agreed, they brought the boy and girl together, each one stood in the corner, and they cried the entire night, how could it be that I, the son of the Kohen Gadol, I've been lowered to such a terrible matzav where I'm now being matched with a shifcha. And she cried, how could it be I, who was the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, be matched with an Eved? They cried. When the crack of dawn, when some light entered into their soul, they could recognize each other, they realized they were brother and sister, and they embraced, and their neshamos departed in the intense tsar. So, al-eile, on that Chazal Darshan, al-eile, on that specific incident, Ani Vachia is what I cry for. That is what when Yirmiyah wrote this pasuk, this event took place probably 500 years before the Maisa of the Bein Ubas of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. But Yirmiyah Hanavi saw Ruach Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, what would happen at the Churban Bayis Sheni, and when he saw that, he said, Al Eila Ani Vachia, he wrote this pasuk as a prophecy, as a response to the prophecy, what he saw at a later point in time. So the question is, why? What does this pasuk have to do with the maisa of the Ben? Where in this pasuk do you see the story of the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael? So a lot of the commentators say they struggle. I mean, there are many psukim. You can go through the whole Eicha, and you can basically say every pasuk captures the event of the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael. But the simplest answer is it's really a continuation of the previous pasuk. There are many very deep answers, which are over my head. But the simplest answer is, this pasuk is following. Al-Eila is going back on the previous pasuk. On the previous pasuk, Tez Vav, it says, Korolai Moed Lishbar Bachuroi, my young men, Gas Darach Hashem, Livsulas, the maiden, the girl, Bas Yehuda. This is the one rare pasuk. It's a very rare pasuk. We have mentioned both the boys and the girls. the Bachurim and the Basulos. And the Bachurim has the connotation of a young boy, and Basulos has the connotation of a young girl. And here it says, Al Eila, after he makes mention of the young boys, the young girls, Al Eila ni Bachia, Eini Yodimayim, Yodimayim, he makes mention here, I'm going to cry over the Churbin, over this story. And that really captures the essence of Shaduchim. That story, that Kina, to some degree, captures the essence of the Tsar, over the frustration, difficulty that goes into of Shaduchim since the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Okay, now let's go to the Targum. Targum Pasuk Tes Vav. Before we go further, just want to point out one thing the commentators take note of. Sila kol abirai, the word sila means a road. It means to trample. It means to step upon. And unfortunately, this is a curse that we've been living with in Galus, is that the Goyim, they use our holy places as the stones from our holy places have been used throughout the generations as highways. Okay, even on the Har Habayis. Okay, you know, we don't go to the Har Habayis. And I think especially the places where you're not allowed to go on the Har Habayis, it's known, there are videos of the stones, the pavement, were taken from Jewish homes. And you can even see, how do we know we're taken from Jewish homes? Because you can even see the mezuzos on the floor today of the Har Habayis. You can go Google this. On the floor of the Har Habayis, there are stones. They're paved with stones. And some of those stones, if you look carefully, it was etched into the stone a mezuzah. What is a mezuzah doing on the floor? This was the lintel. This stone was a mezuzah of... Well, the lintel is what? The vertical, horizontal. What? The vertical. So the lintel was the lintel. And what's the horizontal called? What's the horizontal called? The lintel and the... I forgot. What? No, that's the bottom. That's the floor. And the lintel is the vertical. And what's the horizontal called? The post, okay, but the lintel. But you look on the floor, you can see an imprint, an indentation of where a mezuzah was put. Meaning that the Arabs, they took the doors, the homes of the Jewish people, and have used it for. Oh, exactly, and this is also very well known all over Europe. What? What, the lintel? And what's the post? What's the vertical? The post. Okay, so the post. So you can go see on the floor, they've taken as the posts where the mezuzah was etched, and they've used it as pavement to step on. And as Rav Kalish said, and what about all over Europe, there are stones, the tombstones, matzevos,
to
pave the streets. All over the world. This is a curse. And this curse is rooted in this pasuk. It all comes from this pasuk. Sila kol abirai Hashem. Sila means...
The FJJ, I think, had the article this week. Somebody noticed it and then brought it to their attention. And now they look and they're looking, they apologize. They apologize someplace, I think it was in Poland, that they found that one of the major power plants in the Krakow or someplace is built with gravestones and other things that were from cemeteries and shuls. There were they see Hebrew writing on the stones in the power plant.
Yeah.
There's a project now of bringing in the stones. I don't know if that's the same Galapagos
stone,
or is it actually Polish? They go around and publicize it, and people
will
find it, bring it in.
Okay, it's rooted in this pasuk. Sila means to trample, to step upon. Rashi calls the pasuk solu hamasila, panuderach. Clear the road, pave the road. Sila Abirai means my mighty ones. It simply means my people, human beings, but also means my mighty ones, my mighty places. I mean, you can talk about the mighty ones, the tombstones. Tombstones represent the matzevos of the great ones. And the great ones, the Gedolei Yisrael, their tombstones are being stepped on as roads. The homes, the mekomos hakadoshim of the tzaddikim who live b'kedusha v'tahara, of the mighty ones, are now being stepped upon as a road. And that's a very, very frightening, remez in this pasuk. Okay, let's now take a look over here at the Targum. Targum pasuk tes vav. Kenash kol takife. Kenash means to gather. Kenav kol takife takife Hashem beini. Hashem has gathered in all of my mighty ones among me. So according to the parish of the Targum, it's not like Rashi. It's not like Rashi. It means to collect, to ingather. Hashem is misas tzaddikim. Hashem has caused the tzaddikim to die before their time. Now this is based upon Yeshayahu, pasuk Yeshayahu. It says ki mipnei hara'ah nesaf hatzadik. This is a very, very scary principle, is that because of the ra, the tzaddik dies before something very horrible comes. There are two reasons why that happens. Number one, it's a kapara, is that the ra is supposed to be a lot greater than it turns out to be, and because of the ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzaddik, the misa tzaddikim, is a kapara for ra. The Chofetz Chaim talks about his I think, I don't remember the details, but his son-in-law, one of his son-in-laws was nifter very young, and the Chofetz Chaim said that there was a gzeira on, like, I guess some, you see,
I think his name
was Aaron. I don't remember, he said there was a gzeira on half of Klal Yisrael, something like this, and his misa was the kapara for half of Klal Yisrael. Like, we think the Holocaust was a, we could have been, we don't even understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, but Rahman Wilson, it could have been even worse. And it's Misa Sadikim was an atonement that there can be a She'eris HaPleita. It's a pasuk. Ki mipnei hara'ah nesaf hatzadik. According to the Targum, that's what this pasuk is. This is not the translation. This is not the article translation. Because like we always translate Rashi, I think we're much, much, much more familiar with Rashi's interpretation. Sila means to step. Our enemies have stepped upon us. But according to Targum, it does not mean that. Asila is another word for ingathering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken to himself. He has taken from this world the tzaddikim before the real Ra was about to come, before the Churban Beis Hamikdash was about to come, meaning the Churban would have been a lot worse. There would have been a lot fewer survivors. And it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took in advance tzaddikim, that served as a kapara for what was coming in the future. So again, the Targum, Kinash, kol takife Hashem beini. Hashem beini means from among me. Hashem has gathered in all of the mighty ones, all of the tzaddikim da'abirai. Period. Then it goes on to say, what's kara? Era. It occurred. Zman olai. Hashem designated. Era, this context means really he designated upon me a zman, a time. Lisvira, to break, to shatter. Chel ulemai. The mighty young men. Ulemai means the mighty young men. The olu amamaya al gezeras memra de Hashem. And the nations of the world, they came forward to fulfill the gezer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This so'ivu, and they contaminated the sulta de beis yud. So here's another very deep idea the Targum is alluding to, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a gzera. But you don't, like, this is the old age-old question. Why did the Egyptians, did they deserve such severe punishment when it was anyway a gzera of v'avodim v'inu yosam arba me'el shan? Hashem already said you have to go
Be enslaved
for 400 years. So what's the time on? Why did the midstream have to suffer 10 makos, kriyas yamsuf, this humiliation and destruction, max b'choros? The answer is, no one told you to do it. Hashem said it's going to be va'avodim. Who says it's going to be you? And even if it's going to be this nation, I don't have to do the dirty work. Let someone else do it. And even if you're going to do it, You don't have to go overboard. There's no need to go overboard. So what are you coming to volunteer? You're coming to volunteer. It shows that you're a wicked person, and therefore you deserve to get what you get. That's exactly what is over here. That's exactly what the Targum over here says. The Targum says it was a gezerah, and the nations decided to volunteer. Who asked you? Klal Yisrael were making trouble. They're worshiping idols. Okay, so you have to be the ones to go and said Bayesheni. But Bayesheni is the same thing. Bayesheni, the Romans. Who told the Romans to come? What do you have to be the wants to do the dirty work?
And
it's not your problem.
It would be uxorious.
Why do you have to go overboard? So therefore, that's what the Targum here alludes to, is that Kora Olai Moed Lishba Bachurai, Hashem designed, all Hashem said was, the time has come for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Hashem did not force any nation to implement his plan. That's the very, very powerful deek in the pasuk. Hashem was Korolai Moed. The time has come for their destruction. The Targum adds, see, look at the Targum, he adds all these words over here. Erazman Olai L'Sviwa Chel Ulemai. Hashem designated a time to break the strong young men. But what happened? The Olu Amimaya. They went and they decided they're going to do the dirty work. Al Gezeras Memra Hashem. They went and they entered to fulfill the Gezeras Memra Hashem. So even they contaminated. They contaminated the Sultan of Beis Yehuda, the maiden of Beis Yehuda, Di Hava Dimhon Dib Sulhoin. And what? How did they contaminate her? Di Hava Dimhon, her blood. The blood div sultahoin, the blood of the besulois mishtad, it flowed from their bodies, heich like kachamar, like wine min atzarta, from the gas, like wine flows from the pressing floor, beidon digvar, at the time. When a man steps on the grapes, chamar invon sharyon, the wine of the grape flows, begins to flow. So here we are telling us over here that their blood flowed freely. Their blood flowed freely like the wine of a vine. Now, why is Chazal giving an analogy to the case of a vineyard? So there are many reasons. Number one, because Klal Yisrael is called the vineyard. Karmi Sheli Loi Notarti. In Shir Hashim, there are multiple examples in Shir Hashim and Yeshaya. Karim Hoya. In the Agaf, there are multiple examples in the Chazal where Klal Yisrael is called a vine. It is the Yayin, the Shomer, Mishesh, Mebreshis, represents the best that the world has to offer. And when Klal Yisrael suffers defeat, when we suffer, it's described that this potential, this beautiful vine, this beautiful grapes that the Shbaruch Hu has set aside for the world, has now been harmed. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that wine, when a person steps on his wine, on the vines, he enjoys it, because this represents profit. It represents simcha. And when the nations of the world, when they destroyed Klal Yisrael, they didn't just do it looking the other way. They enjoyed it. They relished the opportunity to spill our blood. Person owns a vineyard, go to France, all the beautiful vineyards, when the people go and they harvest in the grapes, they put into the press, and they start pressing on the grapes, they play music. It's great simcha, because finally they're happy that they're going to produce a crop, a product that's high quality, because the crop has been successful. So too, when the nation stepped upon the maidens of Klal Yisrael, when they spilled our blood, they did it with great joy, as if they're going to earn millions of dollars, they're going to win all these awards. I'm showing you very often, it's a big business, all the high wines, wine testing, and all the best quality wines. That's what the pasuk is comparing it to. Okay. Another idea that the Mefarshim point out is that the Iker Tsar, the Iker Churban of Galus, is the loss of potential for the children. When I talk about the Holocaust, there's a lot of talk of, from the six million who died, approximately 1.5 of the 6 million were children. And to a very large degree, that is the Iker, that is the future. And that's exactly what it says in this pasuk. The pasuk here focuses on what? The whole Klal Yisrael suffered. But the focus of this pasuk is the Bachuroi and the Besulosai. The focus, the two words that are selected here as the young, the youth. The Bachurim and the Besulos. And that is considered, they are the Abirai, they are the mighty ones, they are the future of Klal Yisrael. And this is what the pasuk designates, emphasizes when we focus about the Korah Olai Moed. Okay, well, we mentioned last week that we all know that we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av because of this pasuk. That's one of the reasons. It is a Moed, is a festival. Being that Tisha B'Av is a festival, Moed, it's going to be turned v'mahapech into a festival. We do not say a Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. In fact, there's also a very nice word on the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, we say Kein Hashem Elokim. The end of the Haggadah, what do we say? May Hashem Elokim Yagienu. May you bring upon us Limoadim Uliragolim Acherim. What does it mean in the Haggadah? May you bring upon us Moadim Acherim. What do we mean Moadim Acherim? The Torah is not going to change when Mashiach comes. What does it mean Moadim Acherim? It means that the Moed, this, that Tisha B'Av already, there's nothing new. Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. It's not going to be a Torah Chadasha. But this, that Tisha B'Av is already called a Moed, Korah Olai Moed, will be turned, will be transformed into a different type of Moed. Now, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us L'Moadim Uli Rogolim Achedim. The Moed will be a different type of Moed, in that it will not be a time of mourning, it will be a time of joy. Just like Pesach, Chazal tell us that the Bris Ben Absarim took place on the 15th day of Nisan. There's a tradition, the Chasam Sofer writes about this, that there was a tradition that in Mitzrayim, they were in Egypt for 210 years. Every single year on Tesvav Nisan, they observed the equivalent of our Tisha B'Av. They sat down on the floor, and there was a Tisha B'Av, 15th day of Nisan. This is the day when it was decreed, Ger Yiyeh Zarecha B'Eretz Lo Elohem. They had big gatherings in all of the halls, and they had big events. J.J. Schachter spoke online from YU, and the Weinreb spoke online for the OU, and they had all the different events. It was a big day. Teslav, everyone was darshening on the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And that day, shockingly, that very day that was the Tisha B'Av in Mitzrayim, was transformed into Yom Tov. Was the day of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which now for 2,000 years we're observing as a Yom Tov, was transformed into a Moed. Same thing. Tisha B'Av will be transformed into a day of a festival when Mashiach comes. That being that Tisha B'Av is a festival, there's also a very bizarre minog. We do not do this anymore today. But there's no question that this was done in ancient times, is that on Tisha B'Av, people actually made jokes. Leitzanis was made on Tisha B'Av, especially among children. You would go to shul like a Purim spiel, to some degree. I don't remember all the details. J.J. Schachter has a fascinating lecture, like a four-hour lecture on this. All the ancient sources, that being that it's called a Moed, it starts out as a day of Tsar. You fast the whole day, no one's taking a fast. But later in the day, it's transformed into a day of Simcha, into lightheadedness. Because to remind us that this day will one day be transformed into a festival. Today, of course, we don't do this because once we start playing around with it, Rachman al-Aslan, it can get very quickly, we go down the slippery slope, we can lose focus of what the day is all about. But years ago, people had more, their minds were, screwed on tighter, and they were able to have Avelus, and the same time they had Avelus, they were able to partially focus on the fact that the day will one day be transformed into a day of Simcha. Egg of the Seder, we met.
In other words, because they did every year till then,
they always remembered. It's a tradition. They always focused on the fact that it was originally the day of Avelos. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Pasuk says Zayin. Al Eile, on these, on this, similar we mentioned before, Ani Vachia, I cry. Eini, Eini, Yardamai, my eyes flow with water. Ki Rachak Mimeni Menachem, it is distant from me, a one to give comfort, may Shiv Nafshi, one who will restore my soul. My children are in desolation, because the enemy has prevailed. Why the repetition? Eini, Eini, Rashi says, Kolaymar, Tamid, Eini, Yardamayim. Continuous. It's an expression. When we repeat a word, it's for a purpose to connote. It means intensity. Kafal haloshin melamed she'ein hafugos. There is no respite. There's no stop. The intensity of the tears flowing down my eyes. I saw a beautiful, beautiful idea here in the Surah Seba Medinos. It says as follows. Let's say a person is in pain. Let's say he has some type of wound on his arm. And the pain is extremely intense. What happens? He cries. What happens when a person cries? Tears flow down his cheeks. So, you ask the eye, why are you crying? No one's hurting you. Why is the eye crying? The one that's in pain is the arm, not the eye. Why are you crying? You're crying for something that's not your problem. So the eye says, "Well, I'm all part of the same body, all part of one big happy family. And if the arm hurts, I feel the pain. I cry. So you're right. I am an independent creature. I am an independent organ. But you know, it's all related. So when the arm hurts, my eye cries." What happens when there's a pain in the eye? And the eye tears. The eye is in pain. There's an intense pain in the eye. Rahman al-Itzlah. And that intense pain leads to the eye producing tears. You ask the eye, why are you crying? I'm crying for myself. I don't have to be religious. I don't have to have empathy. I'm crying for the arm, the foot, the toe. My eye hurts. When I hurt, the eye also gives out tears. So here, that's why it says, it's a very powerful word. That's why it says here in the pasuk al derech drush, eini eini yardamai. The eye is crying for the eye. Now, what is the eye? I actually heard this yesterday in a shir yesterday. What is the eye? The eye is the most spiritual part of the body. The eye is kul ruchli, the opening to the neshama. We say that hamoyach. We say every day, where is the neshama?
Neshama
shebemoichi. So where is the moyach? It's not in the heart. The neshama is in the mind. Where in the moyach? It's in the eye. Chazal say the neshama is resting in a person's eye. When a person, Rachman al-Islam, is nifter, what's the first thing that he's supposed to do? He's supposed to close the eye. The eye is the neshama. The eye is kul ruchni. The eye, from all the parts of the body, is the most sensitive. If there's some dirt on a person's hand, alright, big deal. If dirt goes into a person's blood, you have to just hope there's no bacteria that's going to cause to get an infection. It's not muchach just because something gets into the bloodstream underneath the skin. It's not muchach. It's not a guarantee he'll get sick. But the eye does not tolerate even a mashuhu of something that is impure, because the eye is kula ruchni. What is the ruchnis of the eye? Shalosh pamin bashana yireh. Three times a year we came to the Beis Hamikdash. The way the pasuk describes is to see the Shechina. Okay, we don't necessarily see it physically, but you come. The way the Torah describes is you see the Shechina when the Ribbono Shalom, when the Zman Shel Beis Hamikdash Chayim, you come to the Beis Hamikdash. You see the Shechina, whatever that means. You see, and the way we describe seeing the Shechina is through using the eye. What is the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash? The Shechina is no longer resting among us. Which either from all of the evarim of a person has lost, is in the greatest pain since the Churban Beis Hamikdash? The eye. Because the eye is kula ruchni. And the eye no longer has what it needs, the hashras hashchina. So the eye cries. Who is the eye crying for? It's crying for itself. Eini, eini yardamayim. My eye, the repetition of any, any means the eye is crying for the eye. The eye is crying for itself. Because this is what the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash is all about. The loss of Hashras HaShchina. The Hashras HaShchina is connected to the eye. Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yeroeh Kol Zuchurchas Pnei Hashem Elokecha. You don't have the Shchina, the eye is lost from what it needs. The eye cries for itself. It doesn't need to cry for the leg, for the arm, for the ear, for something that is else. It can cry for itself. Al eile anivachia, eini eini yardamayim. For this I cry. I cry for the fact that seemingly goes back to the previous pasuk of Karla Moid, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the Yehumesh, the Rabbi Shmuel ben Noi, fits very well into the Bachurai and the Besulosai. Ein eini yardamayim, yardamayim ki rachak mimeni menachim, menachim is this. Now, who is the Menachim? So you know that Mashiach, one of the names of Mashiach is Menachim. Menachim Yigal. Menachim is one of the names of Mashiach, and he is very far from us. He is distant from us. And we don't know when he's coming. We have no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did not reveal when he's coming. And here we also learn a very great insight, is what is the role of the Melech HaMashiach? It's a very good question. What is Mashiach going to do for us? Let's say Mashiach comes. Let's say he arrives. So what are we going to ask him? Cure for cancer. Then everyone will be healed. All the different diseases. And then what? We'll still be miserable. Parnassa. Okay. He'll somehow figure out a solution. Everyone has Parnassa. Gevaldik. Okay, we'll probably still all be miserable. Right? We'll have good health, and we'll have parnasa. Shidduchim! Right? Shidduchim! He'll solve the shidduch crisis. We'll still be miserable. He'll solve all the problems. All the problems, in all the wars, the Palestinians, Palestinian problems. He'll solve all the problems. We'll still be miserable. What do we really need to make us happy? We need the Hashras HaShchina. But the way he describes, the way that's described, is a very interesting pasuk. Menachim, what is the role of the Menachim, of Melech HaMashiach? It's Meshiv Nafshi. It's to restore our neshama. That's the role of Mashiach. The role of Mashiach, of course, he's going to solve all the world problems. But if you think about it, in our lifetimes, we all have problems, and every once in a while, few and far in between, a problem is solved. And then we discover
that it brought a new one.
We're not happy. Someone actually told me. I was listening to eavesdropping yesterday, and he said there's a very high rate of suicide among people who win lotteries. Is that true?
Well,
me too. I'll also take the chance. Okay. There's a high rate of suicide. What?
Most of the people that won lottery,
yeah,
wound up bankrupt.
Right. Or bank. That's another thing. Bankrupt, depressed. But there's suicide.
Toys R Us also ended up bankrupt.
Toys R Us.
He just read it.
Question is. Why? So this person, this very intelligent fellow that was pontificating, he's explained the reason why there's a high rate of suicide among people who win lottery is because as long as you're poor, you think that there's a better world out there. So there's what to look forward to. There's a lot to look forward to. That and if only I had money, I was financially secure, then I would be happy. So you know what? I'll stick it out. I'll suffer along. I'll cruise along my miserable life because maybe somehow I can think I'll strike it rich. I haven't struck it rich until now. Why do I think things are going to change? I don't know. Keep buying lottery tickets. Total mishigas. The same thing he's doing nothing. But who knows that? And then all of a sudden he wins the lottery, and now his problems are solved. But he's still miserable. Nothing has changed. He's still a miserable person. So really, I have it all, and I'm still miserable. So it's not worth it anymore. So therefore, there's nowhere to go. I have. You've left your imaginary world. You've left your imaginary world. You have what you need, and you realize you have the same problems. There's nowhere to go. So what do I need this for? I might as well take my life. There's no hope. And that's why, that's the psychology, at least according to this person's opinion, why there's a higher rate of suicide among people who win the lottery. So the truth is, look at the pasuk, you have him, Menachem. Menachem is a code for Melech HaMashiach. According to Chazal, Menachem is one of his names. And here it says, Ki rochak mineni Menachem, meshiv nafshi. The role of Melech HaMashiach is not to make you rich, not to solve your problems, it's to restore your neshama. To restore your neshama means to connect, it's your spiritual bearings. To connect you to your spiritual mission in this world. And your spiritual mission in this world is not necessarily to be rich, it's not necessarily to have all the good things that there are in this world, is to achieve your purpose in this world. This is Menachem. When you think of Mashiach, it's Meshiv Nafshi, not to solve all of the world's problems. Okay, Hayuvon Hashemem, Hayuvarivke, that we discussed, my children Hashemem, the enemy has prevailed. Let's take a look over here now at the Targum. Targum elaborates. A long Targum. Pasuk Tezayin. Targum says, Al Taf Layo. The children. Taf Layo means the children, the kindlach, the is rat shu that have been ripped apart. Okay, so he's explaining, what's the al-eile? Al-eile ani vochi, I'm crying. What am I crying for? So the Targum says, we're really going back to the previous pasuk, or if we're not going back to the previous pasuk, then he's come now, he's adding in this, somehow he knows who he refers to this, he's referring to the kindlach, the children that have been denied a future. And if, of course, this fits perfectly in line with the targa, with what we mentioned before, the ben ubas of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, al taflaya de israchu, the kindlach that have been ripped apart. And then he focuses upon the women, v'al nishaya, and upon the women, mo'ad yasa, that are pregnant. That are pregnant, the pregnant women, the is bekoun kire sehon, whose bellies have been broken open, split open. We have some of the reference to this in the kinos, but the one, if you really want to read about the horrors of this, and that's during the Tach V'Tat, that's the Chmelnytsky massacres in 1648. The horrors of the Chmelnytsky massacres are just earth-shattering, and they actually describe things like this, where they take pregnant women and they did all these unbelievable atrocities, unbelievable things. The isbikoun kire sehon amaras. Amaras, so in reference to the fact that the children have been smashed and the women, pregnant women, their stomachs have been broken open. Amaras kinishta the Yisrael. The Jewish people declares the following statement. What does she say? Anoi Bachya, I cry. Now here is something very interesting in Targum. Not like Rashi. Every word of Targum is Kodesh Kodashim. There's so many Dukim. So far, it's very hard to really appreciate the depth of Targum. And Rashi was very disturbed. Why did it say Eini Eini? Rashi said, both continuous. Ways. Continuous. It's just an expression. It's nothing more than expression. Here it means the right eye and the left eye. I told you, no, the Vart. I told you, Eini Eini. One, the eye cries for the eye. The eye cries for the eye. But here we have a new interpretation, which means the right eye and the left eye, both eyes. Now, before we go further, why do we have two eyes? Depth. If we only had one eye, then it was two-dimensional?
Yeah.
Two-dimensional. Depth. When you have two eyes, it adds a new dimension, depth to life. That's a very deep idea. What?
Rav Brown used to say we have something called Marasai.
Yeah.
He used to say it's a very gemeina, meaning it's a long type of an iser marasai.
Yeah.
He says you have two eyes. One eye is supposed to be critical, but the other eye is supposed to see the good. When you have marasai, it's only the critical eye that's
Only the critical eye. The good eye doesn't want to look.
Yeah.
There's always two ways of looking at something.
Yeah, critical eye and lekav schus.
And sometimes in everything, both are true. We live in a very complex world. But even a person himself, you do things. Nothing today is pure. Everything is a taruvis. There's always a taruvis in everything that we do. But two eyes represent depth. And this is what the very deep idea, what it says, Al Elani Bochia, Eini Eini Yerdumayim. The depth, I cry with depth. I just don't cry superficially. If one eye would cry, that would be like a two-dimensional crying. But when both eyes cry, just like when you see something with two eyes, you see the big picture, the pain, the tsar, touches the deepest part of my neshama. There is depth in my pain. Any, both eyes. Not a superficial eye of two dimensions, but two eyes together. Al Eil upon this, let's go further. A train, both of my eyes, Zalgin Dima, bring forth with tears, Dimasa, Heich Mabua, Demaya, like a fountain. Heich, like the Mabu means a fountain, Demaya of water. That's how deep my tears are. Then we go to the next section of the pasuk. The next section says, Israchak mini, it is distant from me, Menachem, someone to give comfort, Dimkayem Yasi, that will sustain me. Menachem dim kayem yasi, that will sustain me. Umalel tanchum al nafshi, that will sustain me and say comforting words to my neshama. Umalel tanchumin al nafshi. Period. Now we go to the next section of the pasuk. Havo benot sadyon, my children. Sadyon means my desolate. My children have been captured. My desolate children. My children have become. Say havo benot sadyon kama. My children have become desolate. Shomemin is translated here as sadyon, arum, because iskaber alehon, that's prevailed upon them, be'el devava, the yoke of the enemy that has prevailed upon them, the yoke of the enemy has come upon them.
Sadyon means what?
That means a shememin. He translates here the word havo benot sadyon, sadyon, to be trapped. Okay, they become entrapped. Okay, my children become entrapped because the enemy has the el devava. The yoke of the enemy has prevailed upon them. Okay. Okay. Now, there's also this idea. We all know that the Chazal focus on that when a person runs during the weekday, it causes his eyes to dim. A person who runs Shabbos, but Kiddush of the Shabbos, on Shabbos when you make Kiddush and Havdalah, you will take the wine of Havdalah and of Kiddush and you smear on your eyes, that restores the eyes 1/500. So someone to find that reference here in this pasuk is al eila ani bochia eini eini yordamayim, which means that my eyes tear with water, meaning that the yarda means that when the eyes tear, when the eyes, a person cries too much, it causes his eyes, the koyach of his ru'iyah, to be diminished. This is the churban of galus. The churban of galus is we're running nowhere. We don't have Shabbos is called Shavas Vayinofash. Shabbos is a time where the neshama is restored. Shavas Vayinofash. The Chazal Darshan Vay of the Nefesh. That's Mitzvah Shabbos. There we learn that when Shabbos is over, the neshama Yisera leaves. But that also simply means that on Shabbos we gain a neshama Yisera. We gain a degree of Menucha. Shabbos is called the time of Meshiv Nafshi. So from here we learn. In the beginning of the pasuk talks about this idea of Eini Eini Yerdamayim. The eyes are tearing due to the Churban. The Churban is Hamikdash. We are in a state of galus, and we cry, and the koyach ri'i is diminished, If only we had a meshiv, a menachem, meshiv nafshi, then that would stop the eyes from flowing with tears. It would restore the good health to the eyes. On a microscopic level, we do have such a Mashiach every single Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, we receive a neshama Yisrael Gezuntai. Shabbos is a me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a me'ein of Mashiach. Shabbos is a me'ein of the menachem, that is meshiv nafshi. And therefore, it is for that reason that Shabbos has the koyach to restore a person's weakness of the eyes that comes during the week. That's why these two parts of the pasuk go together. Eini yardom nayim. If only we had the menachem meshiv nafshi, that would take away the tsar of eini yardom nayim. So we look at the 7 days of the week where we're also in a gather of Eini Yardamayim. When Shabbos comes, we can restore this problem. Okay, let's just start the pasuk, we'll stop. The pasuk Yitzayin says, Perishat Tzion Biyodecha in Menachem. Perishat, she spreads out. Tzion Biyodecha, she extends her hand out in an expression of mourning. When a person is desperate, they raise out their hands and they say, please help me. Ain Menachem Lo, there's no one to give comfort for her. Siva Hashem LiYaakov, Sivivav Tzav, Hashem has given the command that Yaakov should be surrounded by enemies. Hoysa Yerushalayim LeNida Beinehem, Yerushalayim has become a Nida, Beinehem has become an abomination, someone that has been distant Beinehem among Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi's a little bit. Perishat Tzion Biyadecha Kamo, Perishat Tzion Biyadecha Kamo, Peras Yadav Bikirbo. Ka'odam, like a person that spreads out his hands, bikirbo, among bikirbo in his midst. What does that mean? Ka'odam hamolich yodav, a person that spreads out his hands. Molichem umivyom, he extends them and brings them inwards. Umitzta'er bohem, and he is in pain. It's the expression of, when you move your hands back and forth, it's the expression of tsar. Period. Dovar acher persat zion lashon shvira. It means brokenness. Kamo uforeis ein lohem lekabel lenachamo. There is no one to break. To break their state of mourning. We're going to have this later on. Uforeis ein lohem lekabel lenachamo almes upon their dead. Kachilu.
A person embraces his hands and mishabram, when he breaks them, tosefes matzatzchet. Let's maybe know. We'll leave this for 1:00, 1 hour. So maybe we'll go over this again tomorrow. We'll leave this for tomorrow. Stop here.
Okay, fine. You want to put it down? Master, yeah. Fine. Okay, I'll go right down on that. No problem. I'll write down the name.
It makes sense.
Okay,
what's
going
to be?
Say yes.
This one yours?
Yeah, it's mine. Yeah, thank you. Fine. That sounds fine. What?
This one too.
When I had an operation, I would come meniscus. Joy. Shiloh's in the interim. The doctor wants me to use a stationary bike, which I have in the house. So, what's my Shiloh? Can I use that on Shabbos?
Yeah, a stationary bike. You're not going anywhere. Yeah, a regular bike. You just want to put up on a platform where.
No, it's on the ground in my basement. Manual.
Exercise bike, it's for a four.
Well, yeah, I'm going to need it after the operation, even more than that.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm going to double check, okay? I'm going to double check, but I believe so.
Good morning.
Good
The people in the neighborhood are all laborers and farmers. But please, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Ok